Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction.
Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone.
Today we're recommending A Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin. Impress your friends with real-life magic. Act like you read a long book without any actual reading.
Think of all the masturbating you'll get done.
So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. That's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Enjoy the episode. Reese's, put down that Merc Monk.
But he's my friend.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor. In the shadow of the mountain, cry their name.
Until the deed is done, until the quest is won, the battle's in our minds, until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we're telling tales of halflings and
graveyards.
Oh my god, that sounded like a goddamn whole graveyard set.
I hung out in one to get, you know, a feel for the story.
Oh yeah, you did. You did a little research.
And just sat there and let the death seep into my bones.
And that was it, leaving your bones through your mouth.
Yeah, graveyard.
Oh my god, it's back. Oh my god. We got our prompts this week from YouTube yet again. Halflings was suggested by Yakov Meyerhoff, and Graveyards, I'm terrible, and Graveyards was suggested by Conrad Schroeder. So thank you guys.
Those are great names. Those are great names.
It's a great, great name. Great, great name.
Both
Conrad
of them.
With a K, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so pretty fancy.
That's pretty.
But we'll do it again this week, guys. If you have a prompt, leave it in a comment. And if you could, limit it to one. I'm not going to, you know, enforce any rules here. But, you know, I think it's a little bit more fair if you just leave one, you know?
Yeah, pick your best prompt. Like, really think about it, too, you know?
Like, don't think about it too much. You don't want to give yourself, like, one of those thinky headaches.
Oh, dude, this suck.
Where you just think so hard, and then you're all broken up there.
That's my whole life, Dom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You think too hard about something, and you just start crying.
I just shut down, and I can't function. My life is, like, over for the day. People are just like, go home. You're useless.
You can't do nothing no more.
Which is crazy, because I work at home. Weird.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah.
By the way.
Uh-huh.
What did you do this week?
This week, I started cleaning my house. It's fucking mm-hmm. dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all my Star Wars figures, all my old Kenner, you know, 1977 figures.
Ooh,
along with, you know, a bunch of other ones that I have. And I set up my display cases, and I got a display case with a light in it, and I put some lightsabers out. It's beautiful.
Oh, it sounds great.
It was a lot of work.
I saw some photos on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to do. It was hard, though. Like, I missed, like, having a hobby.
Yeah, collecting stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the fail-safe of, like, your meaning of life if you ever are like,
right.
Oh, my God, why am I here? What am I doing this?
Yeah.
And you can always look back at your collection of things and be like, oh, well, I collected this thing.
I am the collector.
This is how I live.
I do that with, like, all kinds of weird shit. I used to, like, work at an auction house, so, mm-hmm. like, there would be all kinds of weird old things that would come in, and, like, you know, you're allowed to bid if you work there. So
wait,
I would.
Yeah. You worked at an auction house?
Yeah, I worked at a real life auction house. Like, and wow.
Did you get anything cool?
I got a couple, like, old, like, Swiss Army knives, and I used to collect, like, Zippos and lighters. I got a couple of really old lighters.
Was this auction house held in a treehouse, Josh?
I wish, dude. It was like a Boy Scout
it's,
auction
it's
house.
Old lighters. And pocket knives.
It was in
and,
southeastern
twigs and acorns.
Magic twigs and acorns, Dom.
$1 here, $1 for the acorn here. I imagine you doing that.
I wasn't the
chipmunks
guy.
Chipmunks and squirrels.
Dude, that would be way better than the real job I had.
And at the end, is when you auction off the big acorn, and that's when everybody shows up.
And like the squirrels are like, because they're like, you know, excited. There's like a shuffling, whatever noise that squirrels and chipmunks make. I don't know.
And then when they hold up their little bidding thing, it's on a leaf. That's cute.
It has a number on it, but it's all drawn all backwards because they don't
know
numbers.
It's like a backwards seven.
Yeah, because they don't know. So that's what I did.
Feeling a little homier over there?
Yeah, it's not so spooky anymore. And when if you ever come over again, I know you're leaving for the great Wild West again, but if you ever come over before then, I got my Randall Cunningham poster up, and I found my Randall Cunningham football, signed football.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I think last time I came over, that was on the ground.
It was. Because the cats just knock it the fuck over.
Fucking cats. Don't they know that it's signed?
It's worth literally like $20.
To a lot of people. A lot. A handful.
To somebody who would want that.
Plenty of people would want that, actually. I would value that ball at...
$100, maybe?
$100? $100 for that ball?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But that's cool, man. Got your place in order. I have kind of been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
In the sense that I've been doing a lot of cleaning because people are coming in and out to see the house.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, it's always awkward because they're like, oh, I'm looking through a person's house and he's standing right there. It's like, you know what, man? Then maybe you shouldn't reply to the Craigslist ad.
Yeah.
If you didn't walk through a man's house like a man.
You got to be a man to walk through a man's house. You know what I would do if I was like that? I would just look through your underwear drawer. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, dude, do it. Go ahead. Take a peek. See what kind of draws I rock.
Dude, I'm curious. I want to know.
You got the balls to look? Then I got the balls not to get mad. Whatever that means. But I've also been shipping a lot of the fantasy fiction merch. The sale just finished at the end of today. It will have been completed, the sale I talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
But we sold a bunch of stuff, and it's been great. So moving out to the West Coast is going to be a lot easier because I don't have a ton of hoodies. I had so many hoodies in the basement, and now we have so little hoodies.
That's
so
good.
Great.
That's
Thank
really
you guys
good.
For buying stuff. And if you're looking to buy something fantasy fiction related, you can stop by fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com, and that's where you can get some merch and some shirts and stuff.
Put in your information. Order it online. It'll be there.
Yep, it'll come. It'll come in the mail. I'll pack it. I pack them all. I draw on the invoices and say hello.
Yeah, it's the best deal. It's the best
deal.
It's the best deal.
And if you're buying something, there's a little box where you can leave a message. Feel free to leave a message because that makes it a little fun. I get to reply as I'm packing stuff. It's fun. It's a fun thing.
One prompt only, please.
Yes, please. Only, yes, please, one prompt. But you can write me...
Love letters.
Love letters. Love, don't.
Kisses.
Don't make them too lovely. Someone did write one. Some man named Dylan wrote, I love you with an L-U-V, very nonchalantly.
That's true.
And
I
replied. I said, some things we say we can't take back, Dylan.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Love means never having to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm. That's why I've never said it to Josh. And it's cool.
He does love me.
Shut fucking shit. I also played a Lord of the Rings board game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Corey got it for me for my birthday.
Okay.
And it's great. I think it's a kind of a sought-after board game because...
Really?
You can play up to four players, I think. You can play as... Wait, I think it might be five. It's Merry Pippin, Samwise, Frodo, and Fatty Bulger... decoy hobbit that stayed behind. You can play as. So it's up to five players and you play against the board. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we'll have to play it when you come over for the sleepover next week.
Oh, yeah.
Groove is in the house.
Me, 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 me. Only if we listen to that song on repeat.
Only on repeat.
You know what? I'm going to make a 90s mix, and I'm going to bring over a 90s mix, and we're going to listen to it.
Okay, bring a boombox.
Dude, I used to have this sweet jam box. Oh,
Did it have like a big smiley face sticker?
No, it didn't. But
like one of those glitter ones that was like not really a smiley face, but like a smiley face with like sharp teeth.
Yeah, or like a tie-dye peace sign.
Oh, yeah, dude. You had that?
Yo, yeah. Cat in the hat sticker.
Yeah, cat in the hat with weed leaves on it, yo. A.K.A. my everyday attire. But enough of this. Enough of this jovial business. Let us get into our tales of halflings and graveyards. Goodbye. This is going to be a scary episode, I guess.
Already is.
Ooh.
Are you ready this week for my story?
I am. Let's hear it.
All right. I couldn't think of a title. I made one up, though. Halfling in the Bag.
Yeah.
It's a good internet show.
Yeah. Nice. Hey. I like it.
Yeah, you like it? All right. Okay. If you don't know what's going on in Theranos by this point, listen up and get your sloppy wet tits out of your ass.
I don't even know if that's possible.
Oh,
but
it's
possible. I have. I'm ready.
You're ready? Okay. Clean them off. Theranos has everything. It has adventurers, wizards, magic, gentlemen, guys who aren't afraid to talk about their feelings, guys who aren't afraid to say I love you on the first date, guys who want to give things another go, guys who know they fucked up, Patty, guys who, fine, if we're really broken up, Patty, I want my Seasons of Northern Exposure back, guys who can drop them off at my apartment anytime after six, Patty.
Patty. Oh my God.
Has anyone dated anyone named Patty ever?
I can't say for certain, but if they did, they definitely tried to take those Northern Exposure DVDs.
Dude, do you know the one I'm talking about with like the little life jacket on it? Do you remember
the
that?
Life jacket? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Always saw it at Best Buy. Considered getting it on a whim.
Because it looks cool, right? I didn't even like
that.
Yeah,
you're like, this must be good. They did the packaging right. I looked at it.
That and Wings.
That and Wings, yeah.
Wings was okay. Anyway, in a dank old graveyard in the middle of the night, just after the stroke of Steve the Clock, sat three gnomes named Rory, named after the hot ghost from Gilmore Ghouls, Hori, the slutty one, and Oreo the Oblivious. They sat plotting and scheming like only mischievous gnomes could. Gentlemen, Rory said firmly, we have an image problem. For years, the other races of Theranos have literally and figuratively looked over us. We only finally just got over everyone stopped calling us halflings. That's our word, shouted Hori. Well, boys, Rory went on, I for one am sick of being the tiny baby-sized butt of jokes. Fuck, man, even that shitty piece of shit Flyman gets more stories written about him. I mean, gets more respect than we do. Hori nodded in agreement. Yeah, he said. And then we can finally do some all-sea porno that isn't ironic or exploitative of our racist proclivity for being small and adorable. I'm talking some real sensual shit. We may be small, but we have a lot of jizz to offer. Amen, Rory said.
Sensual.
Some real sensual shit. He's ready to go. I just looked up graveyard on my all-sea ball, and it said it's a spatially defined area where the remains of dead people are buried or otherwise interred, Oreo chimed in. Yes, very good, Oreo, said Rory. If you'll notice, I've drawn the sickest pentagram of all time on the ground, taken directly from the cover of Wife Bones' seminal album, Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something's Blood Dispute.
Oh, man. Good to see Wife Bones still kicking.
Oh, man. They're going to be like the Rolling Stones, but better.
I think so, man. I think they're on the verge, dude. They're right there.
Dragons don't die. They don't. They live forever, dude.
They fly. That's what they say.
Uh-huh. I lost my fifth virginity to that album, Hori said, smiling and nodding, thinking back to the time he had sex with a gourd he thought granted wishes if you had sex with it, but his wish was to have sex with a gourd, so maybe it did grant wishes.
Confirmed
wish granting sex gourd.
If your wish is
to have sex with a gourd, you can have that wish.
Did she ever call you back? Astoria. Idiots, enough! This is why everyone hates gnomes, because you two imbeciles can't stop fucking vegetables and being dingbats, Rory snapped. Oh, Oreo said. I get it now. You loved her too, didn't you, Rory?
Rory slapped Oreo upside the head. As his head hit Hori's head, the studio audience laughed.
Morons! We're going to raise an army of the undead. I read about it in Necromancy Fancy, the magazine about all things necromancy, Rory said. Wow, Rory, Oreo said, surprised. I'd expect that kind of disgusting sexual behavior from Hori, but subscribing to a monthly publication about having sex with dead bodies? That's messed up, Rory. Just help me with the seance, Rory snapped.
Soon the gnomes were sitting around the pentagram chanting ancient arcane and mysterious incantations. In unison, they began to speak the magic words. Everybody get up, it's time to live now. We got a jam, we got a real jam going down. Welcome to the seance jam, here's your chance, do your dance, it's the seance jam. Alright. As they spoke the ancient words, a purple mist began to fill the area, as the moons began to align and turn a deep dark red. The kind of red when your nose bleeds and you stick a tissue way up there and then pull it out and it's all black looking. You know, like the moons were having the worst periods of their life.
Quickly, Hori, Rory shouted. Place your most sacred and beloved possession into the center of the pentagram.
Hori quickly tossed his carefully laminated first edition of Necrophilia Fancy magazine into the center of the pentagram. Yeah, that's right. Both magazines exist. Millions of subscribers to both have been confused, disappointed, and surprisingly aroused for decades.
Now you, Oreo, Rory shouted. Well, my most valued possession is our friendship, Oreo said, smiling.
Ugh, both Rory and Hori groaned.
Something valuable and real and tangible and not stupid. You did remember to bring that something, right? I told you like 5 times, Rory said accusingly. Well, I was going to write it on my hand to remember. Then I couldn't remember where I put my quill, so I got up and looked in that little drawer where I keep all the quills and ink and stamps and scissors and horse glue, but it wasn't there. Then you yelled at me to hurry up because we had to go to some graveyard thing, so I forgot to write it down. Next time, I should write down where I put my favorite pen with my favorite pen I always keep in my breast pocket, Oreo said as he pulled out his favorite pen. As he did, Hori slapped it out of his hand into the purple misty pentagram. It vanished in the smoke, and the pentagram burped. Good. Now all I have to do is give the Dark Lords of the Depths of the Darkness a child's soul, Rory said as he pulled out a jar labeled Child's Soul. Whoa! What?
Hori said in shock.
Oh, wait. This is really fucked up, man. Yeah, Hori, it is. We're making a dark pact with the Dark Lords of the Depths of the Never-Ending Torment to revive the dead. Did you think we were going to a tea party with the Queen of Flower Dresses and the Princess of Poppy Kisses and the Canyon of Cuddlewuddles? I hear it's lovely there this time of year. Let's just go do that,
Oreo said, hoping he'd get to go do that instead of sitting in a spatially defined area where the remains of dead people are buried or otherwise interred.
Why would you be doing anything else if that exists?
I don't know, man. Why isn't everyone just always there? I imagine it's a lot like Disney World.
I only know Disneyland, and if it's anything like Disneyland, Disney
Dude,
World, that is.
We got to go to World. World's better. I've never been to Land, but
I'm
just saying.
World Jam.
Everybody, get your Mickey ears. All right.
Rory pulled the cork out of the jar, and the child's soul flew out.
It's okay, Rory. I don't mind. I was an orphan anyway, so nobody is going to miss me, said the lost soul of the unnamed child as the demons of the never-ending night realm clawed their way out of the earth to pull the child down into the abyss, kicking and screaming.
The gnomes sat in shocked silence.
It's okay, guys, said the child from what sounded like underground. I found my mom and dad.
Hey, not so bad.
They were in hell.
They were in hell the whole time.
He should have looked there first. Suddenly, the moons in the sky began to quake as fire and lightning rained down from the clouds and lit everything the fuck on fire. The ground shook and heaved like two people were having sex on a waterbed in the middle of the ocean. Suddenly, a hand shot out from under the ground and began to drag a lifeless body up behind it. Then another, but this one didn't have any pants on. Could someone have buried this guy without pants? Can you do that? If so, I'm updating my will. It's a legal binding document. You have to respect my final wishes.
If it's hard, it's hard. If it's hard at the viewing, it's hard at the viewing.
It's going to be hard. You deal with it. I want everyone to see what they missed.
Open bottom half, guys.
Close top half, open bottom half.
Just so everyone can see that it was huge.
We're doing
this. It was a big deal.
We're doing this. I am not even kidding. Soon an army of undead minions stood around in the graveyard as the sky returned to normal and the moons returned to their normal moon color. Yes, Rory said, cackling. We'll be unstoppable. Yay, we did it. Suck my dick, God, Oreo said, just going along with it, but not really knowing why he was even there, which makes two of us. What is your bidding, master? Speaketh your orders to us so that we may carry out your design. Speaketh them clearly, for your orders will become irreversible and permanent until the end of time, for all time, said the pantsless zombie in a booming voice, probably enhanced by the confidence given to him from not wearing pants like a boss. Minions, shouted Rory, I command you. But suddenly a familiar tune began to play. It started out faint. Come on, ride the train and ride it, choo-choo. Then it got louder. Come on, ride the train and ride it, and still louder yet. Come on, ride the train. It's a choo-choo train. The gnomes looked over to see Oreo singing along to all C-tube videos on his all-sea ball. Your bidding will be done, my lord, said the pantsless zombie. What? I didn't give you any orders yet, Rory shouted. Suddenly, the zombies began to form a conga line and sing along. Come on, ride the train, and ride it, choo-choo, they sang as they began to dance and move in unison to the killer jam. They formed a line of hundreds of zombies, maybe thousands, into the distance and began to ride the train. Some put their hands up and pretended to pull the choo-choo train cord, while Pantsless Zombie began to pop and lock like an old pro, probably due to the fact he was unrestricted from the pants which society tells us we have to wear.
Again, a great point. Popping and locking is way easier naked.
Yeah.
With your body.
Exactly. Maybe I'll just get myself taxidermied into a popping and locking pose.
And people do an animatronic.
Yeah, you can put me in Disney World.
Yeah, put me in Pirates.
Yeah. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. The zombies sang. Saying, moving slowly yet relentlessly off into the horizon. Some say, to this day at night, when you hear a train, that it's the ghosts of the zombies still marching into oblivion, doing the train. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. The gnomes were silent in their defeat, except for Oreo, who was still jamming out. From underground, a voice could be heard. It was the orphan child's soul.
Did it work, guys? He asked. Tell me it worked and I didn't die in vain. Guys?
Finn.
Nice work. Oh, man. The orphan soul. Orphan stole the show.
Yeah. He's a good character. I'm sorry he had to die.
You know what? If he didn't die, I don't know if I would have liked him so much. Because now I know he's gone.
I feel that way about a lot of people.
Now I am at peace with my image of them.
I like them a lot better now that they don't bother me anymore.
Josh, are you ready for my tale of halflings and graveyards?
I'm ready. I was born ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, all right. This one's called Foggy Hill Frightdown. That's what it's called.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Deep in the forest of Old Toby, there stood a small town of Bageldin, home to many halflings dating back to earlier times that aren't talked about as much anymore. The town was cursed a long time ago, and ever since, Bageldin's people have been coping with the fact that they've been cursed.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's big. It's big, man. It's a big deal.
Holy shit.
There was one halfling named Jared, and no one liked him. Well, one person liked him. His mother. But that doesn't count because she has to like him by law.
Yeah.
One day, riders, the exposition in this, one day, riders rode into the center of town and called all of Bageldin's people. They spoke of a way to break Bageldin's curse. I've spoken with the wizard. There may be a way to break the curse, shouted the rider. There may be a way to break the curse, but there ain't no way to break this, said a halfling as he did a DX suck it gesture.
Every universe has that.
That's why they call it universal.
Right.
It truly is. Everyone can understand it.
It's like the choking sign. Everyone knows what that means.
Everyone knows. Someone must retrieve Lord Maladin's sword from his tomb in the Foggy Hill graveyard.
Oh, no.
Then what? Shouted a voice from the crowd. I don't know. He just said you had to take it, replied the rider. I guess there's not much of a plan after that. It's a little bit of a blind faith thing, I guess. I don't know. You're just going to have to take my word for it. Silence took the crowd, and then someone yelled, fuck that shit. That place is haunted. People in the crowd showed their approval for this man's disapproval by shouting, yeah, and shit, yeah. Then something burned inside Jared, and he spoke up. I will do it. The crowd did not react. One guy tried to start a slow clap, but everyone just looked at him. Hey, he said, I fucking hate that guy like everyone else. But when he just volunteered right there, kind of changed my opinion on him a bit. Yeah, and then I'm thinking if he brings back the thing, saves the town, I could perhaps no longer hate him. I mean, if he fails, he fails, and I was right all along, but there's absolutely no way for me to look like an asshole in this situation.
It's a win-win.
The crowd took this in for a moment, then slowly joined in on the slow clap, then full applause, then they carried Jared to the edge of town while chanting, I'm number one in my life! I'm number one in my life! It began raining not long into Jared's first day of travel. He was not given a map, so he decided to stop at the last tavern he knew of this far from his home, the Dancing Dagger. A coolly named bar, but its connotation with rogues is a real common trigger in olden times, so not a wise business decision, IMO. The tavern was old, probably the oldest in all of Orcspire. Jared's hand touched the doorknob's beard as he opened the door.
That's genius. That's genius.
Thank you. Inside, it was loud. Adventurers from all over were drinking and talking about how much they liked drinking. Jared was hesitant, but then he mustered up the courage and asked, "Does anyone know the way to get to Foggy Hill Graveyard?" The entire room dropped dead silent and looked at the halfling. "That Foggy Hill Graveyard is no place for a halfling to roam alone," said a tall wizard with a gray beard. "But I told my girlfriend I'd take her on an adventure today. Six Flags Great Adventure. It's gonna be dope. Hit me up next week and let me know what you're up to, dude," said the wizard as he peaced out.
What a cool wizard.
He would have lent a hand, you know, if he didn't make that promise.
You can't
understand. You've been
there,
you know?
Can't break a promise to your girlfriend.
It's
not
especially
good...
that old.
Yeah.
"The Foggy Hill Graveyard," said the bartender while pouring a drink. "Well, you gotta be as stupid as a halfling looking to save his entire village by stealing a sword from the Foggy Hill Graveyard to go in there."
Almost exactly like that.
Almost exactly the situation. One patron at the bar began to turn around toward the halfling as he spoke. "You gotta be stone cold crazy to walk into that graveyard and try to jump on an eagle's back, then drive him like some kind of air wagon in the Eagle Olympics just because you think there's no way democracy can ever work." "Damn it, Jake, you're drunk," said the bartender. "I don't like the way this boy talks," shouted Jake as he dove toward a bar stool and began wrestling it.
Dude, Jake rules.
Jake laid the smack down on his stooly ass as a couple of goblin barkeeps separated the two. "Some tell of a story," began a young warrior, "of a man that once went into that graveyard and a ghost grabbed him and ripped him in half from his chains."
Oh my god.
"I will go with you, halfling," said a grizzled mercenary as he lifted himself from his seat just as his brain processed what that guy had said about that taint thing, and he immediately sat back down. "You stay the hell away from me and no one ever talk to me about graveyards again," demanded the mercenary as he picked up a book titled "Taint a Thing, The Photography of Safely Connected Taints," and began looking at it.
Yo, I need that book.
"I'm just looking for directions," Jared finally managed to get in. "Oh," said the bartender. "Well, it's just over there." The bartender pointed out the window into the darkness as lightning flashed and lit up on a large cemetery with an iron gate in the shape of a skull and crossbones.
Oh, yeah.
Fear pee trickled out everywhere. "Well, I guess I'll need a room for the night," said the halfling as he reached into his pocket. "Whoa, you get the fuck out of here," said the bartender. "You just said you were going to the Foggy Hill Graveyard. They know now. The ghosts know that you want in, and they'll be coming for you, little ass. And I don't want no ghosts coming in here, okay? I'll admit it. I'm ghostess. I hate ghosts, and I hate their white asses in my bar. I don't want to look at their white faces or nothing, so you're cut."
"You're cut."
The goblin barkeeps grabbed the halfling by his coat and threw him out into the rain. Jared picked himself up and headed toward the graveyard's gate. Lightning struck a bird and it exploded. He pushed it open. As he did, one of those electric Halloween sounds played. It could be that, or it could be that one that's like, that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's scary. I don't like that one. That spooks the hell out of me. The fog was rolling all the fuck over in that goddamn graveyard. Jared brushed aside spiderweb after spiderweb as if shit wasn't spooky enough already. The skeleton of a spider dangled at the end of a web that was woven in the shape of an X. Aw, man, you know that's bad. You're not supposed to go where X's is. The wind was blowing, the ghosts were wailing, and if you listened closely, you could hear the monster mash a-playing naturally through ambient sounds.
It's just like the way that the weeds move. It's the monster mash.
Yeah, exactly. It provided like this part of the song.
That's beautiful, Dom.
Pants were scared off. The halfling ran in panic, searching for the tomb when by sheer luck before him he read the family name Maldon etched in stone. Just before he could step inside, the wind picked up violently. The wailing of ghosts began to surround Jared as a ghost hurricane formed around him. Ghosts were flying all over. One whispered, "You know how they say there's never been an incident of a ghost harming a human ever reported?" "Yeah?" said Jared nervously. "That's because we only kill fools, so there ain't no one left to report shit," said another ghost. "I'm ready to rip some taints," said the third ghost. They all laughed as the eye of the ghost of Cain began to shrink. The vortex of ghosts closing in on Jared suddenly began to dissipate. As the halfling could feel the sun's warmth on his face, he opened his eyes and squinted as a refreshing golden light that beamed through the trees hit him. Morning had come, and with it, the spirits had lost their power.
Oh, yeah.
Jared was able to easily grab the sword from the tomb and return to Bagleden. Let this be a lesson to everyone. If you're going somewhere spooky, go during the daytime. It turned out that the sword was needed because they were able to sell it because it was worth a lot of money and the town's curse was being poor. This, of course, broke the curse of Bagleden because money is the solver of all life's problems. To money, the thing we made up. The end.
Brilliant. That was great. Great story.
Thank you.
I think you hit on the biggest fantasy element of all time. That money is valuable.
Money is absolutely necessary anywhere you go.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of Fantasy Fiction. And Josh, thank you for being my friend.
Thank you for being my friend. Round the Dom, and I love Dom.
Oh, yeah.
You got a Dom of gold. You're a friend, and your name is Dom.
Thank you. I am that guy. Hey, you know what I actually was doing this week?
What?
I was listening to some Steely Dan.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's about the whitest thing I do.
Well, I mean, it's up there, I guess.
It's up there, but you want to know why it's the whitest thing I do?
Why?
Because not only do I listen to Steely Dan, but I only listen to the greatest hits album.
Yeah.
So I just get the hits, after hit, and then I'm out. I'm done.
Nobody has time to, you know, sit through all of the Steely Dan discography.
You going back, Jack, do it again.
You know who's
we're going round and round.
You know who's a good band that I think is the whitest band I listen to?
What's that?
The Doobie Brothers.
Dude, the Doobie Brothers are good.
Yeah, man. If you ever want
to... It will come back to you.
Uh-huh.
That's Michael McDonald on that track.
Yeah, right? Man. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You can tell. He's got
You can tell he's in there. Just listen. Next time you hear Peg, you listen closely. You'll hear some McDonald right in there. What's another one they do? Oh. What's the other Michael McDonald like?
Din, 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 din. Something don't
only
lose.
A fool believes. Yeah. That one. Yeah.
Our friend Mike does a really good Michael McDonald impression.
I believe it. I believe that. I really do.
It's spot on, man. It's great.
Oh, man. You guys got to come up. You know what? Mike and Josh got to come.
Yeah.
We'll play Lord of the Rings.
I'll try to make him. I'll make him come. And then I'll make him come over to your house. Hey, good night, everybody.
What a fool believes. We're friends.
Oh,
we are friends.
Oh, yes.
Hey, if you want to support Fantasy Fiction, check out our store. You can buy some merch, and you get a t-shirt in exchange for helping us out. It's fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. If you want to leave a prompt, leave it in a comment on this episode. And hey, if you want to just share what you thought of the episode, whatever you want to say, put it in a comment. And while you're at it, like the episode and share the show with friends. That's one of the best ways to support the show because it really helps us grow. And guys, it's always funnier when you're laughing with somebody in the car, when you're driving and you're listening to our voices and you laugh really hard at a joke, and then it cuts to like footage from a 1970s action film of like a car with no engine in it flying off the cliff.
Off of a mountain.
That could be you.
You could live that dream.
So share the show with a friend and have that play out.
Share the show with a friend and don't die alone. also, leave an iTunes review. Go on iTunes and look up Fantasy Fiction and leave a review.
Yeah, because that helps us out as well.
Hey, I'm going to throw something out there, Dom. Why don't we both recommend an album that people can listen to, since we were talking about Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers?
Because we're talking about Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers. I think that's a great idea, we kind of got some time here. I feel like we went through everything already.
Yeah, we were pretty quick on the outro, so we're not getting the wrap it up sign yet. So.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I don't want to go anywhere.
I don't want this to end.
Ever. So what do you got? What do you got for your album that you're going
to
recommend?
I've been listening to a band that I used to like back in like 2005, 2006 called Bear vs. Shark. The second album is called Terror Hawk. It's kind of like if Modest Mouse was on speed. It's a little bit like that. It's a pretty good album.
You know what, Josh? I've never listened to that band. I've heard of them before. I'm going to check out that album.
It's pretty they're pretty cool. They're kind of like, I don't know what you would call it. Like, kind of punkish. It's not really punk, though. I don't even really know. There's not really anything like it. Modest Mouse is really, like, the closest thing I could think of. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how that sounds. You know what? I was going to do the Steely Dan Greatest Hits album, which you may listen to if you very well please. But you know what? I'm going to call in an audible here. Huh? I'm going to say something else. I'm going to say one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah.
Talking Heads, Remain in Light.
Oh,
never listen to that album. It's incredible.
That's a good one.
My favorite album. You ever have an album that changes your life? You listen to it and you're like, it kind of has an effect on your life. That album, for me, that's what that did.
Yeah, I was thinking about today, like, all the great albums that came out when we were in, like, middle school in, like, the early 90s and stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't have albums like that anymore. And that's the oldest thing I'm ever going to say. But there were so many phenomenal albums then.
You know why that is, Josh? You know why you feel that way?
Because it's free.
No New Girl Talk.
Yeah, you're right.
when's that coming? We want to hang out with that new jam. Dude, I still listen to it all day.
Oh, God.
Which is the last one.
Dude, that was like, God, what year did that come out? 2000?
That was GamerVision. I think that was like 2010 or 2011.
Oh, my God, that's forever ago.
Yeah. Well, listen to those albums, guys. Have a great time with that. And thank you so much for being our friends and listening to us and having a fun time with us. And until next week.
Until next week, everybody. Keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding. I see you being a shark in my life.
Keep on wizarding, baby. That's the best I got.
I love it. I love it. Keep on wizarding, everybody. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.